That's all we need.
Oh.
Let us get the volume up. I have something to share with you. I haven't had an opportunity to speak to the group yet, so I'll tell you at the same time. Eustace did not come, and the ones that would come with him or because of him did not come either, and we can clear that up later in the paper. I have a concerned party who has provided me with your last document regarding militias, and I want to make this very clear to everyone. This is not going to end up being tattle time or look what he's doing versus look what that big boy's doing versus. We're having some situations around this particular town where the serpent clones are being let out more and more and more, and they're kind of terrorizing around. We'll have a little report on that. Now, this paper, and bear with me, Ron, this paper regarding militias that went out from Ron Jackson, and Dorma has not had an opportunity to fully read this. It's very short. It is his comment to Janet Reno that you big bully, Butch, may not attack the militia people. It is a constitutional right to have state militias. Because Ron Jackson writes to Janet Reno and says the states have a right to have a militia and you may not bother them, does not mean that anybody is advocating declaring war, pulling out your phasers. If you had them, I might declare war. But you don't have them. And we need to keep our leaders alive, and Ron Jackson's one of them. And Ron may be a very, very good and effective black belt karate instructor, even. But he cannot stop a phaser or particle beam. Oh, he'll stop it. I'm sorry. It'll go right through him. But we must stop picking at these tiny details. Everything in your Constitution is fair game to call everybody on. Please understand that. And the mere calling of the government to task for breaking the constitutional laws is not only acceptable, it must be done, and we're going to get on with that this very meeting. It's time. You now have cases built. Ron Jackson's one of them. You have a writ of habeas corpus, and they should hear those within 72 hours. But you see, they've managed to even put the writ to be heard off until when, Ron? 1st of February or something?
February.
Yeah. That is unlawful. A writ of habeas corpus is to be answered within 72 hours. Of incarceration, not 72 months, not 72 weeks, 72 hours. But you see, we do not have the legal facilities to back that up. And they won't let him out to go back it up himself unless he raises a big fuss. And then they'll come in to bargain for a 30-day continuance and so forth and push him right to the limit of when they can lawfully hold him anyway. We're going to start calling everything we do, people. And I'm going to get into that pretty much in depth today. And I have your message. I certainly will be writing for your paper. We'll give it a big push. And then my hope is that when you're out, we can just combine these two. We're sick, tired, weary, and all of those things.
Join the club.
All right. It ain't good to be a patriot.
Well, I feel awfully good.
That's good news.
Well, we're behind you, and just don't let the flibberty gibbets get to you.
All right. I'm using someone else's time, so thank you. Have a good day, everyone. And just remember, this is our country, and it's going to come back to us.
Thank you, Ron.
Right. Aho.
All right.
Salute.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Actually gave me a real good way to start this meeting. Why don't you date that tape?
Okay.
EJ so that we can move right on.
All right, this is January the 22nd, 1995.
Aloha.
Aloha.
You see, it is sort of like, what was her name, Penny, who spoke for Mapu, and she got to be a swami and got to wear the crown and everything. It's the same way. So when you say you've made Hatan or Mapu a swami, forget it. She gets the necklace. But I get depreciation. So it works out. And I thank you. The reason that I'm not concerned, you ones are concerned, but I could have told you so. I did, as a matter of fact, tell you so, and nobody heard me. Eustace Mullins is this way. You have had an exact duplication of last year. Exact. Right down to the having to film this afternoon with the same filming people. Well, he's choosing, you see, the things that come up that will, he feels, give him more fodder, more attention, more everything. And that's all right. Because I don't need to go out and fight the Khazarians through Eustace. It helps to have the buffer for you people. But you can see that Jordan Maxwell has that subject down cold. Where we need Eustace is somebody to lead you people who know what you can do but don't know how to do it. And it just makes it a little more difficult. What I want to offer Eustace is an opportunity to come for 6 months with a reasonable expectation of remuneration for that, and obviously we need a little longer anyway. But you don't have time to wait. There are others, and we can do it without him. And we're going to vote Gene Dixon in today to do that, head that, and even if there's some community meetings that need to be held, we'll volunteer him for that too, because he's not here.
Poor guy.
I think maybe what I'd like to do is just start with reading today's writing because, no, I'm not. I'm going to start with reading what Soltec has sent over. I can't even get aggravated at Ed Young because he is the go-between. And I can't really get aggravated at him being over that tunnel up there during these days because you all have to know that every earthquake happening now is known. Is known approximately 3 days by computer warning before it happens. That includes the one in Kobe. The reason that one is so important is it takes out a major port. And you can see what's happened. Japan is coming apart. And when it falls, when it goes under, you are doomed over here on the west coast, right along that sea coast, because that's the next place that it's anticipated that they'll hit. You're in the final stages of takeover. Your entire bunch of absurd, idiotic, and evil people, the one especially I want you to pay attention to today is Byrd.
Senator
Byrd is a product of the Monarch Training Program. He and Dick Cheney, all of that bunch, well-trained, well-experienced, and are slave owners. And one of the owners, the last owner probably, of Kathy O'Brien, Monarch slave, I mean trained by torture through the Monarch program. And we can enlarge this, but not today, please. Right out through the Delta forces and the Bogreitzes and the cute little sweet Monarch children like Desiree and Claudia. They don't even know it. This is the most horrendous, miserable, torturous program of sexual and mental abuse that there is on your globe. And it's been tried, and it has been workable. They're in the final stages of closing you down. And Senator Byrd is one of the most evil, corrupt slave owners of the lot. That ass that stands up there with his effeminate hands, holding up your Congress while you are paying him hundreds of dollars an hour to do your business bogging down Congress. And he has his counterpart. Do you begin to understand how you cannot do with this government? It doesn't matter who comes in on a party line. You cannot change what is there. It's evil, corrupt, and totally so. So I would appreciate it, Brent, whoever's going to read for Soltech. Let's do that first. It's really, really tedious here.
January 21st, 1995. Tonio Soltech present. I come in the radiant light of Holy God. What a busy week you ones have had upon your little planet. Earthquakes, floods, snow, ice, and tornadoes are but a sampling of that which is ongoing at present. And everywhere you will find that things are occurring out of their season. Deserts are blossoming in midwinter, and tulips are blooming in Holland. Tornadoes in midwinter in one place, and springtime weather in other places. Arctic winds, snow and ice blending with or turning to torrential rains and floods. All these are but a part of the overall changing face of your planet. Well, by now the entire world is aware of the 7.2 reported earthquake which struck Kobe, Japan on early Tuesday morning, one on January 17, 1995, their local time. The aftershocks of this massive upheaval continue as more and more of the dead are pulled from the rubble. As of this date, the count of those who were killed is approaching 5,000, while more than 250,000 have been left without shelter, and nearly 75,000 structures have been destroyed. Of those structures still standing, thousands have been so weakened that the smallest of further shakings could take them down. What occurred across the Pacific Ocean is only the beginning of that which is at the doorstep of your world. I do not come to bring you doom and gloom, but rather the message of change, the heralding of transformation for your planet. We have spent the past 7+ years attempting to ready you ones for this time. Last week, I wrote on the subject of fears, as well as facing and coming to terms with those demons inside. Do you yet wonder why I chose such a subject? Chilas, when all that you have counted on is no longer viable, and that which was is no longer, you will need to have to come to terms with your fears, or they shall be your undoing. It is a frightening thing to have the ground beneath one's feet become so unstable that you can no longer stand up. Your planet is in the process of shaking you once from your very foundations. All things are in a state of transformation, and transform they shall. There is no turning back at this point, so the only option you ones have is to go forward. Do not look back upon yesterday and that which was, for it will no longer have any meaning. Remember that I have told you ones to keep a very watchful eye on Japan, for that place would announce the beginning of the massive earth changes for your entire planet, and in particular for the west coast regions of your nation. Japan is beginning to break up, although you have only seen the leading edge of this. Early this date, there was another earthquake of significant size in Japan, but this one occurred off the coast of the northern island called Hokkaido. This shaker reportedly measured 6.5 on your scales. But that is not the only one, for there have also been numerous other shakers in Hokkaido, in the Ryukyu Islands, and in the Kuril Islands in the past week, many of these well into the magnitude 5 and 6 range. The same day of the Kobe earthquake, there was a 6.0 in the Fiji Islands at a depth of 600 kilometers, and a 6.0 in the Aleutian Islands near Alaska. The following day, there was a 5.6 in the Kuril Islands near Japan, and on January 19th, a 6.5 in Colombia, South America. And now, just today, Saturday, January 21st, 1995, in the later afternoon, there was a cluster of several small to moderate quakes in Southern California, Palm Springs, Landers, Big Bear, etc. Furthermore, now, even your own scientists are leaking stories of the long-awaited Big One in California, revising their estimates from a 60% probability to an 86% probability that an earthquake of 7.0 or greater will occur in California. People, wake up now, for you are being prepared for a whopper. Also, the scientists in China are warning that there is a strong probability that a 7.0 magnitude or greater earthquake will occur in western China. You are hearing stories almost on a daily basis regarding the risk of earthquakes and earthquake damage for the greater Los Angeles area. Should an earthquake of the magnitude of that which was struck in Japan hit in Los Angeles, that too would resemble a war zone, with the destruction and human casualties numbering literally in the thousands. I strongly urge you ones to sit up and take notice of these stories, for I am here to tell you this day that it is at your very doorsteps. It is time to take stock of your emergency supplies once again and be prepared for the absolute worst, for an earthquake of 7.0 magnitude is extremely conservative. You will count yourselves lucky if it does not reach a magnitude of 9.0 or more. It is not only California which is in immediate danger, but also that area known as the Pacific Northwest, Washington, Oregon, and parts of Canada and Alaska. In fact, any place which rests on or very near the edges of the Pacific Plate should be taking notice of that which is happening and prepare accordingly. But specifically, the Northwest regions should be on alert, for not only is there danger from seismic activity, but also from massive volcanic activity. It is impossible at this point to say which would precipitate which. Either earthquakes could cause volcanic eruptions, or whether volcanic eruptions would cause earthquakes. But when it happens, it will matter very little, for the results will be catastrophic either way. The most important supply which you will require is water. Check and replenish, if needed, your stored water. You can survive for several days without food, but you cannot go long without water. And you will not be able to count on any of your public water supplies, for even if they are working, many will be poisoned and undrinkable. So, of utmost importance is your water. Next, it is a good idea to have emergency rations of food, such as foil packs, freeze-dried items, etc. The reason is that these are prepared to last an extremely long time, and the packages are small and lightweight. Chlorella is an excellent source of nutrient and should be a part of every emergency stash. Canned goods are good, but if you need to pick up and become mobile, the less weight and bulk, the better. Fresh batteries for flashlights and radios are also very important. There will most likely be no electricity, and open flames will present a hazard, especially in areas where there are ruptured gas lines. First aid supplies are also an absolute must, for there will be many immediate injuries, plus subsequent injuries and illnesses to deal with. Solar blankets are also an excellent idea, because they are very lightweight and can insulate and hold up to 85% to 90% body heat. Also, do not forget to prepare for your domesticated animals. They too will need nourishment and care, for most of these little creatures are not going to be able to fend for themselves, for they have come to rely upon you to provide for them, so an extra supply of their food is also a must. For those of you who require eyeglasses, an extra pair in your emergency supplies is important. If your glasses get broken in the earthquake, you will still need to be able to see. Any medications should have duplicates in your emergency supplies, such as insulin, etc. A little preparation ahead of time might literally be the difference between life or death. I realize that this list is but the barest of essentials. Depending upon your own specific needs and requirements, you may need to add to or change this list, but please do not ignore it. You need to face up to the possibility that you are going to be put in a survival mode, and overcoming your fears about it is an absolute must. Hiding from it or denying same will not save you. Good preparations will. I'm going to keep this writing short and to the point because, Chilas, you are out of time. The alarm clock is ringing, and you must get up and get busy, lest you are caught asleep at the wheel. This is the time of change and transformation, and there is no escaping it, regardless of where you try to run. You cannot leave the planet, and so long as you are on it, you are going to experience the changes and transformation. Basically, you do not have a choice in this one. The only choice you have is how you deal with it. We have been informing you over and over and over for years. Now is the time of final exam, Chelas. Thank you for your attention. I urge you ones to not turn your heads away and plead ignorance. For to whom much is given, much is required. You have been given so much information. What do you intend to do with it? It is time for action. Tonios de Clear. Salut. Ed wrote a little note here. He wanted me to announce that Gordon Michael Scallion will be featured on Art Bell's radio show tonight. I believe it starts, let's see, at 7 p.m. And it comes in where we can get it here on KNZR out of Bakersfield, 1560 on the AM dial. That's for 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And the final hour usually is taken out by some religious program. But there is another station out of Reno that some people may be able to get, KOH, and that's 780 on the AM dial, for the last hour from 9 to 10, if you can get it.
You should be able to get it if you're not up against the Golden Hills area. Up there, you're just kind of out of it. Radio is useless. And that should be something that you pay attention to also, because that puts you out of the circuit for emergency broadcast. I want to talk about what Soltech has offered you here, because he's not gone into great detail about why Kobe is so important and what happened there versus what would happen, say, in Tokyo. You see, if you look at the damage that is done in Kobe, it's along the waterfront, the harbor port area, that the hardest hit industries are located. The larger multi-story, say above 10 and up, modern buildings, and you see Kobe is almost what you would consider a new building. It burned. You of the United States, in all your mercy and glory, wiped it out at the end of World War II. So what is there is basically what you would still consider fairly new construction. And the high-rise downtown buildings suffered very little damage. So that tells you a lot. Number one, they knew exactly where to hit to make the points they wanted to make, because of liquefaction. That is exactly what they will do for the most effect when they hit the West Coast and or the East Coast. You have built on liquid land. You filled it in. And when it begins to shake, it's going to be like sand in a water puddle. Worse than that, any time then that you have rising sea or even the falling off or the crushing, what will happen is not everything will topple into the sea. You will have it sucked under. Now, how far along are you? Well, let's put it this way. The elite big boys in the know have moved their submarines inland and have closed the locks, so that it cannot affect the underground at China Lake. There is another large, quote, seaport underground around the San Bernardino area. Running through the Mojave Desert, you have an underground waterway, an underground river that they cannot seem to locate again. Found it once. That has all been taken, constructed, and that water has been fed into underground facilities for floating objects. This means that with very little effort, they can reopen a waterway to the sea. and the important vessels that they have stored now, stashed, in the China Lake area and other ports. There are others. There are some northern ones, and this is one reason that the Oregon, Washington area are very, very important. They're starting to pull off their plans. And once it gets underway, Mother Nature does take over because of the beginning. You're overcoming the inertia, and it gets rolling. And while it's happening to you, it will be happening everywhere. It is a world order underway. I study the data that is forwarded on to me regarding this local area and the area underneath the protection shield or the plasmic shield. I cannot see that it will be much more than a 3.5 response on your Richter scale. We've tested it several times. It could be greater, and depending on where you are, you may get shaken up. But I don't anticipate larger than that. And we are prepared to pull that crystal out. And some of you are going to be in that cradle area, if that has to be. And you won't even feel very much, except an upsurge. So don't go and panic. Don't go panic.
You don't have a choice.
Now what's happening that is enough to terrify you, but please calm down about the reptilians that are visiting your various and sundry communities over on the side of the mountains versus or opposite Northrop. They have quite a few, but not an overabundance of manufactured, built hybrids of the lizard variety. They have taken man DNA and lizard DNA and alien DNA, and they've manufactured some pretty interesting people, creatures. They're very, very childlike. When they do get out on their own, they're usually, boy, they're under surveillance, and they want them back right quick. But they are built to see in the night. Their vision at night is very good. So they usually, if they're going to do any training exercises or anything with them, because they are remotely controlled, mentally controlled. And they have an interesting stride. They will have 4 to 6 steps and then a large step, usually around 3 feet. That's a large stride. And it's frightening. The tracks will leave something that appears to be a rocking horse or funny little pointy-toed feet with pointy toes on either side that would rock. That's a lizard. If you've ever watched a lizard, the point of weight-bearing will be in the middle of that step, that track. And they will make almost no imprint. And for me to tell you how that is achieved, I have to get into another subject that I do not want to cover very widely at this moment. But these reptilians have been out trailing around Roby's place, and it's unnerving, isn't it? They have no odor, therefore. And they are so silent in their movement that the domestic animals won't pay any attention to them. They give off a different kind of energy than a person or another animal would. It's more than odor. They give off almost no energy around them. But they are extremely light in weight. They are a living organism, just as your body would be, but they have integrated into their DNA structure what we call monoatomic gold powder. It is the essence of life. The total essence of life. All life is represented in monoatomic gold. And that's why there is such use of the term AU. AU is a chemical symbol for gold. And it is almost impossible to break down from a dual gold, a AU2, into a mono gold cell or element. And chemists will tell you you've got nothing. You will obviously have a handful of something, but they'll tell you it's nothing because it will weigh on the minus side.
What?
It doesn't fit any of what you recognize. It represents the total opposite of everything you recognize. And yet there it is. And as we move along, I fully intend, I have already integrated that into some of the Gyandriana, but in a very specific ratio and a very specific element, because I don't want you having that yet. You can see that already they can inbreed that into their playground. They can do it. Anybody can do it if you can get 1,000-degree temperature. Anybody can do it. So don't think it's unusual, and don't think it's unheard of, and don't think anybody doesn't know it. It is manna. It is the source of life. It is biblical. It is everything you've ever heard about. And if you think your enemy doesn't have it, then you're nuts. He has it. He's using it. But he cannot produce life with it. That's left to God. But you can certainly produce the cells. And this is what you have. And this is why footprints of these experimental creatures will not be very deep in the snow. They will just skim the top, basically, of a fresh snowfall, which allows you to know that it was no animal, because the impact of a jump would make the landing spot more deep in the embedding or imprint than and where it takes off from to jump. But you have a very even rocking stride, and it will go on wherever they stop or when you run out of snow. And you see, this is hardly noticed at all except in the snowfall, because nothing really responds to it. But within a little while, you will notice that there are ones with their binoculars spying in your direction if you've got them down near you. So don't be concerned about them. They are extremely docile. They are trained to not go to houses, but to avoid or skirt houses. But they're curious. They have the mentality of a child. They are very, very curious. And very frequently, around here anyway, you're not going to get it reported. They laugh at you and all of this, but boy, they pay attention and they assure you that it could not be whatever you saw with your own eyes. Just like Jason Brent's going to try to convince you that he didn't say whatever it was he said. People, you know, having guests or something so that the cars are not locked in those outer areas up there are often visited by them. They blow the horn, open the doors, turn on the lights. They do everything that a little child would do with all the buttons. And usually then somebody has to come gather them up because they won't move on, because they don't need to eat. They're structured so they don't need to eat, and they are extremely light in weight. They're almost essence. Their frequency is so fine that they have been programmed to just barely touch that earth. If you saw them, you would swear they're floating. And it's time you had some equal rights. But it's not time that you overdo it. And we're going to take it in increments that your bodies can handle and that life can handle. And for you who feel that you must go beyond and above all of what I'm telling you, I would like for you to think of something. How did you get into the situation where your bodies are as bad as they are, if you perceive they're bad? John's memory went. That's simply parasite that invades finally the brain. It can recover. All you've got to do is get rid of the parasite. That's the same thing. God made your bodies to perfection. Leave them alone. Stop diminishing the quality and capability of your body by hitting it too hard. You come onto a parasite program and a cleansing program. Take some Metamucil, I told you, until you can get the spelt. I don't know why I cannot get my products. I want the product. You need the spelt holes. It is not absorbent. It needs to be chopped, not powdered. It can be compressed into tablets. It cleanses. It takes the parasite that is still clinging and will cleanse it. And you don't need high colonics that spoil the colonic regularity and peristalsis of the gut. Quit putting your body through these strenuous fasts and things. You think you feel better, it's because you're not putting the garbage in. But you're not also providing what it needs. And you are putting it through the impact and the assault of one program after another. For goodness sakes, what is your hurry? You've had lousy health up to now. Why do you have to go jump off into the abyss? And who told you to do this? And you'll tell me, well, Dr. Clark. And I'm going to ask you, who the hell is Dr. Clark? Oh, well, Einstein. Who the hell was Einstein? He didn't know anything about the universe, and you all believed him.
Right.
Thank you, John. His memory's coming back. He knows when to agree with me. Stop punishing yourself. If you have time to play in those things and get busy doing something else, I've got a lot for you to do. EJ, read this morning, please. I'm going to war. I don't know about the rest of you, and I'm not interested in militias. We're going to go to war. I'm tired of this. And you ones wait and wait and wait, and Dixon's doing the best he can. But you see, you're living under the assumption you cannot do anything without an attorney. And I'm telling you, you can, and it'll cost you 100% less in every instance. And if you don't have anything left to lose, that obviously means your attorneys are backing off because they don't have anything to win, do they? But from what you have witnessed with George Abbott and that bunch of evil slime taking everything that Leon had, everything, including the $40,000 paid to Leon. Yes. The Institute paid $40,000. And George Abbott put it in his escrow account after it was called. He insisted on that first $20,000 check the day before he left for Italy. You've got to stand up, and that is your first hurdle to overcome, are the lawyers and this deceitful, incredible judicial system. So if you don't have anything to lose, go for it. Okay, I'm through. Till you start. It won't work, Oberly.
Yes, sir. Tests. There are several wise, very wise speakings from our brotherhood of the ancients. I am going to remind you of a few, and since so few recognize me, perhaps you can send Little Crow a bit of support for his own journey, and at the same time send the messages I offer here. He does not have time to respond to everyone who writes any more than do we. But the silence will give affirmation. I do suggest that silence is the most important thing for the lips and the ears, for only in silence can you hear. Quote, "The only way to pass any test is to take the test. It is inevitable." Quote, "Man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself." Quote, "Only after the last tree has been cut down, only after the last river has been poisoned, only after the last fish has been caught, only then will you find that money cannot be eaten." Born empty-handed, die empty-handed, I witnessed life at its fullest, empty-handed. As we sit to write on this Sunday morning with the overcast sky and drizzle of rain, I wish you to look upward, for the sun shines ever, without ceasing, beyond the perceptions of reality upon your crude and primitive world. Any unrest, distaste, or negative perceptions is resting perfectly upon your own individual perceptions and interpretations made by the tiny portion of a whole which brushes your attention. Dorma feels, what's the use of this exercise in whatever it is we think we are trying to do? Hers is to speak and write for me, and I feel that she is without limits in that task. But what else comes forth to bring responsibility? Nothing about which she is concerned at the moment. Meetings. We scheduled a meeting for this afternoon specifically for the presence of what we consider a very important person who promised to come if we would pick up and deliver him back to Los Angeles. This would be a business meeting gathered directly for him and offering ability to interchange with ones of the Constitutional Law Center. The person in point did not keep his promise and gave the exact same reasons as last year under the same conditions. The facts are, better offers came up. Well, so be it, for often the offer not yet made would have been far the more notorious, worthy, and abundance gathering. Ah, but would it have mattered? The one he would have been coming with which to work in this afternoon, did not see fit to remain in the area for the meeting. Moreover, with the last two meetings, it was felt by our person that there were other things more important than meeting with me. So be it. But people, we do not have just meetings for the fun and games of those who wish to come and tinker with possibilities. By most, I am told, quote, "If you want to meet with me, make an appointment. I'm busy." So be it, brothers. You will never have that meeting, for obviously you are far too busy to be bothered with the work of the heavens or the earth. However, being as how I have nothing else to do,